I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we are happy to welcome, for the first time to our studios today, a guy from the Twin Cities named Sam Cassidy. Welcome, Sam.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. And we're happy to have you here. I saw you opening up for Frankie Lee not too long ago. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you've released one album in the last couple of years, and now you have an EP out, right?
Yep, just came out a couple of weeks ago.
And we'll talk about that. And you have a show. You're here a little bit early. Sometimes we have people here the same day as the show, but we're kind of previewing something that you're doing in November. November 19th at the Red Herring Lounge. You're going to be back in town, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, great.
What do you want to start with?
I'm going to play a song called The Flood. Y'all ready for me? Started, it was early in the morning. You know, my friend, that day was long. Kids were splashing around, you were packing up your bag. You always knew that day would come. Say a warning, yeah, then you say your goodbye. But that whole town had made their mind. Somewhere along the way, words got twisted up. But you were always ready for the flood. You were asking them to go. They just laughed and said, I think we'll be fine on our own. Warnings ain't no good. You were always ready. Water's rushing now, it's tearing everything apart. The current's filling up the stream. The world is wondering, could it really be the end? They should have practiced what you preach. You were asking them to go. They just laughed and said, I think we'll be fine on our own. Your warnings ain't no good. You were always ready for the flood.
That's Sam Cassidy live from Studio A, and that's one from his recently released EP. I think was that the one the EP's named after, actually?
The EP's named Sam Cassidy and the Red Dog.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But that song is on it, definitely.
That's right. Yeah, that is on there. And that's one that you and the Red Daughters have been doing live for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you record that one before, or is this the first time?
This is the first time.
Okay.
Yeah, but we've been playing it for years at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell me about the Red Daughters band. Are they the ones that were with you?
They were not, actually.
Oh, okay.
Normally they're the guys that travel with me, but the last time I was here, circumstantially, I played with the other guys, the All Night Canyons. Mm-hmm. But the Red Daughters are old friends of mine, and they're a band independent of me. So there's definitely a vibe.
Are you from the Twin Cities originally?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
So you grew up there. So some of those guys you actually grew up with.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I've known a few of them since about third grade.
And it's interesting because sometimes when you know people as kids, they grow up and you kind of go your separate ways.
Definitely,
and
yeah.
You know, you might still like each other and you become Facebook friends later, but you might not have that much in common. But it sounds like you guys all kind of...
Yeah, we got lucky. You know, we all... The common interest of music sort of happened pretty pretty early on in our friendship, you know, and that's kind of been the glue that's held us all together.
When you were kids, yeah, were you doing music stuff together?
Definitely, yeah. I was in my first band with Tony, the bass player, when we were, I think, 15, so.
Nice.
We've been at it for a while.
And what kind of music did that band play? I'm always curious about those first musical adventures.
I guess our best impression of that band Alkaline Trio. Mm. It's like pop punk sort of.
Okay. You know. From that era was probably very popular.
Late 90s, yeah. Blink 182.
Okay.
I hesitate to even say it because it's slightly embarrassing.
You know what, though? I think everyone starts out, out, except for the very lucky few, mm-hmm. you know. At what point did your taste kind of change, and did you find yourself delving into Townes Van Zandt and people like that?
I think I came to Townes in particular maybe a little later than most people, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think I have a pretty, I'm a music lover, you know, so I always, like a sponge, I like to listen to everything, and I think it's kind of always been that way. So it's always been evolving, and who knows where I'll go next.
But. Well, and so even though you're doing one particular kind of music,
right.
theoretically, you have, you know, broader taste.
Oh,
than
definitely.
That. Yeah. And that's definitely. True. That's definitely true of a lot of people.
I don't think that's terribly uncommon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you did your first album, and you did some of it with the Red Daughters, and you did some of it with the other bands, right?
Yes, that's right.
And it took you a while, because you're a working man,
right?
You had to kind of figure out how to make it happen.
Cobble together the budget, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Dude, we did a lot of, like, kind of piecemeal, like, I would do a few songs, or, you know, with just the drummer and the bass player, and then take a few months off, get some more money, and go in and do guitars, and vocals, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was that your first recording experience?
No, okay. I mean, like I said, I've been in a band since I was 15, so mm-hmm. I'd cut records before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this was the first one that was not a band experience. It was just me making the decisions, which was a little different.
Was it the first one with your music, or were you writing for those other bands?
I was writing for the other bands, but it was more collaborative. Not that this project isn't collaborative, but the decisions are all mine in this, mm-hmm. you know. And when you're in a band, you don't have that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a luxury, and sometimes it's not. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And with that comes the responsibility
exactly.
of how it's going to turn out.
Yep,
so
exactly.
So what was that like for you working on that album?
It was... I liked it because I didn't have to argue with anybody. But at times it's a lot to deal with, I suppose. You don't really necessarily get to bounce ideas off of anybody. You have to be really sort of steadfast in your decision making, I think, is what that comes down to. Mm-hmm. But it was good. I like doing it.
Well, and the people that you work with are some pretty good players.
That helps a lot too.
The band that I saw you with was really great.
Yeah.
And then I've read just wonderful things about the Red Daughters band as mm-hmm. well.
Yep.
So obviously they can bring things to the table.
Definitely. Yeah. And like I said, it is collaborative. Mm-hmm. I get to say no when I want to, but I pretty rarely do that, which is pretty nice. So mm-hmm. I sort of have adopted the model to surround myself with people that are just way better than me.
It's a good motto.
Lift everything up.
It's a good plan, I think. So tell me about your songwriting, and when did you first start? Did you first start when you were 15?
Yeah, I got a guitar. I begged my dad for a guitar, and it's actually this one. And it was from part of the family, and I just dove in, and I started writing songs pretty much right away, and just kind of haven't stopped since.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how have they evolved along the way?
How have they evolved? I think it takes a while to find your voice, I think, as like your individual voice. I think for, you know, those bands when I was like 15, 16, 17, you're just kind of copying what you like. And it takes a while to sort of evolve past that. And I hope that I have at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started writing for this record, that record Debts, I was in a band before that was sounded different, and it was almost a little more like a copy of something else, and after that fell apart, that's kind of when I stumbled on to what I'm doing now, and how it's working out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like, it's more true to myself, I suppose.
Is there a particular song that you just, it just clicked for you and you thought, this is me.
That's it. The last song on the record, Valley Below, was kind of that. I feel like I stumbled on something. I'm like, oh, I get it. This really makes sense for where I'm at right now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you kind of went from there.
Yeah, that was kind of the base for everything, mm-hmm. sort of. Yeah.
So we have you here, just you and your guitar in the studio. Do you mm-hmm. do shows like that very often, or you mostly have the...
Not too much. I like to do it every once in a while, but I like to play with the band more. It's more fun.
Mm-hmm.
More fun to be on stage with a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is it a challenge then when you have to...
It is. Yeah. I used to do it a lot more and I felt a lot more comfortable, but now I got a little, mm-hmm. little stiff fingers right now.
Yeah. You suddenly realize, wait a minute, those guys are really nice to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is travel wise and convenience wise.
Right,
it's much
definitely.
Easier to come do this. Well, let's hear another song. And then you have the EP out. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
And then it's kind of the precursor to another album, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Working towards that. Yeah.
All right. Well, what do you want to play next?
I'll play that song Valley Below that I talked about. Take me down to the shore to wash my hands, clean me up. You know you could find an easier man, not on the road. Better way to spend your time, already bathed, walking down an honest line. Walking down an honest line. Don't know where I'm going to. Can see all that I've been through. Oh, oh. Up, you're gonna watch it all walk, falling down, down to the valley below. Many have died fighting this war. You're on the right side, you don't know why. You know it ain't right, you don't know why. No, it isn't right. I wanna come home to see your face, but your father, he won't. Men like me and the mistakes you'd make, trying to find an honest man. Well, honey, I raise the stakes again. Honey, I raise the stakes again. Don't know where I'm going to. Can see all that I've been through. Oh, oh. Keep it up, you're gonna watch it all up. I'm falling down. Down to the valley below. Many have died fighting this war. You're on the right side, you don't know why. You know it ain't right, you don't know why. You know it isn't right.
That's Sam Cassidy live from Studio A. And one that was on your first album, it sounds like.
That's right, yep.
Okay. So you put out the EP and you kind of presented it as, well, there's these kind of loose ends that we have and we want to record those. And some were songs that were on the first album, but you had versions of them with the Red Daughters,
That's correct, right? Yep.
So you kind of wanted to get those different versions out there.
Yeah, it's fun to hear. Yeah.
And then there's a Townes Van Zandt cover on their Lungs, and I read somewhere that, you know, it's one of those songs that you'd been aware of it, but it just kind of jumped out at you one day, and I love when that happens.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
So tell me about that. Like, what was it about the song that grabbed you?
I don't know. I think it was just, I saw it after an episode of True Detective. It played during the credits, which is that great show on HBO. And I think just hearing it in a different context just jumped out, and I don't know if it was the way the show had left me feeling or something, but I just was really struck by it, and it affected me. And I thought, like I said, initially it was like, wow, this song's amazing. How have I skipped over this or just not had it in, you know, as one like the best Townes Van Zandt song? But eventually I thought, well, we could do something with this to make it our own. Or, you know, to put our own spin on it, I suppose.
And how do you approach that when you're covering a tune as opposed to doing your own? You kind of have to...
It's different. So I'm sort of the opinion that if you're going to put out a cover, you should try to make it different a little bit, at least. Put your own spin on things. But if you're playing it live, I don't think there's anything wrong with playing a straight up, you know, true to the original cover. It's a little different. But how do you approach it? Yeah, it's just, I think if you're going to record it, you just have to make it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and sometimes, you know, that song's been around for a while, but some people might not be aware of it. So it's fun just to kind of...
Yeah. Hey, listen to this song.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Make people aware of it that might not have heard about it, which I guess that's what the people from True Detective did.
Exactly.
For you.
Totally. That's exactly right.
So you've got this EP. You had a release show just a couple of Fridays ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Two Fridays.
Yeah, I think so.
A couple of Fridays ago. And so how about the new album? What's in the works for that?
New album is, it's in the works, yeah. So it's, without saying too much about it, it's a kind of an undertaking. All the songs kind of hang together. It's not just a collection of random songs that I've written. There's sort of a central theme throughout. So that's been fun to write that way.
So you wrote with that in mind, as opposed to you had this batch of songs and thought, hey, these all kind of go together.
No, yeah, definitely a conscious thing. Mm-hmm. Or it is. It's still being written as we speak. But it definitely is a conscious decision to write that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's all fiction, which is sort of a new... I dabbled a little bit in it on the last record and the EP. Mm-hmm. But this one is, you know... It's all character-driven, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those are different approaches. It seems like a lot of people, when they start writing, there's a lot more of themselves in there just because that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But then, is there something that's helped you move away from that, or is it just natural evolution that happens?
It's kind of natural and kind of just like a self-imposed challenge. And then, more than anything, it's like, I feel like when I write about myself, I can't speak for anybody else, when I write about myself, I just feel like it's so one-sided and it's kind of like self-serving and doesn't necessarily accomplish anything outside of sounding a little whiny sometimes. I don't know. It's not that
you're
I
the
always...
person, like if it's a two-person situation, you're the person with the microphone and the guitar.
Exactly.
And the other person doesn't have
they're
that.
They're just there and they get to catch whatever, the brunt of it or whatever. So I try to like remove myself from that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think some people can do that really, really well and sort of make their feelings universal, which I'm just kind of in awe of.
And there is that aspect to it, you know, of some confessional type, you know, we can call it confessional or whatever, songwriting.
Yeah.
There is that kind of universal, and if it comes from a real place, that can be really, there's something about that for people.
Definitely, yeah, to connect to. Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is a double-edged sword, for
it
sure.
It is, yeah.
And you have to
I just happen to not be that great at that. So, I'll make up a bunch of stuff.
Why not? Yeah. And, you know, the feelings are still there. There's probably still things that you've experienced yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I've found, like, after a song is done, I've found pieces of myself in the fictional characters or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. And as far as songwriting, you know, Towns is one of those people who were amazing, you know,
yeah,
story songs, yeah, and, yeah, you yeah. know, and, you know, that you go back to and, wow, where did that come from?
Right, so, totally, yeah.
So people like that maybe are kind of good examples of,
yeah,
of doing that sort of thing. So as far as the process of making the album, is it a little bit easier this time? I know the last one, it took you a while to get it all together.
It's a little easier. Just, I mean, I learned a lot. That one took so long, and I'm trying to not have that same process happen again. Just the length, I kind of want to get it done in a short amount of time, shorter amount of time. Trying to be a little more focused about things.
And that was kind of your first one under your name. Mm-hmm. And so how has that been as far as establishing yourself as a solo artist and getting out there? And
it's been good. I feel like the record was pretty well received. And I got, it definitely was, it was a new thing because it was just my name. So, but I feel good about how things have gone and are going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And has that helped you kind of to get to a place where you can focus more on just doing the album and...
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, doing it in a shorter period of time.
Yeah, and, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear one more. What do you want to do here?
Okay, let's do... since we talked about it, I'll do one of those nonfiction songs.
Pass me
and he thinks he needs to know why you won't lift up your face, don't stray away.
That's M. Cassidy live from Studio A. And so is that one of the new ones?
No.
Oh, okay. But
I'm
it's a, but it's a story song. No, that's okay. You just had mentioned it was a story song.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That was one of the nonfiction ones. That one's about me.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the last ones I wrote about me.
And now you're never going to do that again. Well, you'll probably do it again.
Yeah, never say never.
Well, looking forward to that new material. You know. We'll be happy to have you back when you get that together.
Thanks a lot.
And again, Sam is playing at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth on November 19th. The Red Daughters joining in this
Red Daughters will be there with me, yep.
All right, yep. So it's going to be a rockin' show. And we'll let you know more about that as it gets closer. Well, thank you so much, Sam. It was a pleasure
thank
to have you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Dropping by. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Pierce Stevens, Ingrid Larson, Cheyenne Vavrina, and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.